coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's the 21st day of March, 2022. Couple of things I want to mention. I want to thank everyone for your prayers and support for my granddaughter. She had a great day yesterday. She's improving. Just got word early this morning. She's not doing too well. She took a downturn. Look, folks, please, thank you for your prayers and thank you for your emails. I will provide updates as I can, okay, because things change quickly. And boy, I'll tell you what, your prayers are appreciated, your thoughts, your warm thoughts. But, man, it's tough. It really is. But I really, you know, we really don't know which direction this is going to take. It does look good overall, but we just don't know which direction this is going to take. All right, I'm going to get right into it. Got a lot of things on the plate today. Remember the Pandora Papers? Pandora Papers. Do you remember that? We're going to be getting into the Pandora Papers a little bit as they relate to Ukraine. Remember the Hunter Biden laptop, obviously. Or the one that doesn't exist, right? Show me. Where is it? Oh, it's Russian disinformation. It's been proved to be true. That contains a lot of information about monetary shenanigans between the big guy, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, Ukraine, Russia, China, and others. Other countries and companies. This weekend, fascist Twitter locked out Babylon Bee for making fun of Richard Levine or Rachel Levine, whatever. I don't know. Okay, and I'm serious. I don't know. Is it Richard? Is it Rachel? I don't know. Biologically, it's Richard, Rachel. Anyway, the story is, Twitter, of course, locked out the Babylon Bee. And satire. Babylon Bee satire. It's kind of interesting, too, the censorship that Ukraine is causing and Zelensky is actually directing with respect to what's going on in Ukraine. His martial law implementation, rightly so, has caused not necessarily opposing viewpoints, but different non-state viewpoints from being told about what's going on in Ukraine. I can understand that to a point, but the fact is we are not getting any information from any correct information from either side, in my view. Which brings me to clip one. I've got several clips here. John Moore is going to be joining me, and I can't wait for that because I want to get his take on a few things. In the background of all of this, of Ukraine, don't forget Obama's role in this. You can even go back to the 90s, but more recently, let's not forget Obama's role in Ukrainian biolabs back in 2005, all right? Let's not forget Obama's role in the color revolution, the coup of 2013, 2014. And what's taking place today. Let's not forget Biden's role in Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, but specifically Joe Biden as the point man for Obama in Ukraine and China. in the foreign diplomatic realm under the Obama regime. Now, why is that important today? Peter Schweitzer. Let's listen to him about Hunter Biden and how the Hunter Biden grand jury paused because of the coronavirus, now looking perhaps to indict Hunter Biden on issues related to the financial matters of the energy company Burisma and Ukraine. Let's listen to Peter Schweitzer on, this was yesterday, Maria Bartiromo, I believe. Let's go ahead and play that.
Welcome back. We are back with Peter Schweitzer, the president of the Government Accountability Institute, as we talk about all of the alleged money and deals that Hunter Biden did with officials across the world, particularly in China, Russia, and Ukraine. Peter was showing the business deals that includes a $3.5 million.
All right. For those radio listeners, this is an important screen that's up there right now. Hunter Biden's alleged business deals. Now, I wrote about this in Wisconsin Christian News exclusively. So if you haven't subscribed to Wisconsin Christian News, please do so. But Hunter Biden received $3.5 million wire transfer from the wife, the widow, of the former mayor of Moscow. But he also received some $83,000 per month. It's actually $83,333 to serve on the board of Ukrainian energy company Burisma. Meanwhile, he owns stake in Chinese private equity firms, BHR, and received some $5 million from the Chinese oil company, CEFC. Think about this now. This mental giant, this intellectual giant, who must be an expert in energy, received all of this cash. Or maybe it was for access. He was selling access to daddy for executive branch access. Go ahead and continue with this.
Dollar check from the former mayor of Moscow's wife. Give us your take on the FBI and the Department of Justice's investigation right now into all of this. Is the FBI investigating Hunter Biden, and could that happen while Joe Biden is president?
Yeah, in fact, I think this New York Times piece, the fact that they got cooperation from Team Biden and probably from the Hunter Biden legal team, is an indication to me they are extremely concerned that he is going to be indicted. This grand jury has been meeting since 2018. They were suspended during COVID because of healthcare protocols. It's back up and running, and it's very clear that when it comes to the issues related to tax evasion and money laundering and the other issues wrapped up with it, they're extremely concerned that Hunter Biden's going to be indicted. And I think this article is an effort to frame that conversation in a way that could be the most favorable to them.
So in other words, while they were trying to impeach Donald Trump, the FBI knew all of this existed. They knew about the laptop, and they didn't say anything while Trump was accused of doing deals or having a bad phone call with the Ukraine president.
Yes, that's exactly right, Maria. They knew it all the time, and that deserves investigation as well.
Peter, it's great to have you this morning. Thanks very much.
All right. Now, we also, in addition to following the money, which we have to do, we have to follow the power structure, which that can be seen by way of Hunter Biden's laptop, number one, and number two, the Pandora Papers. Now, those people who are unfamiliar with the Pandora Papers, let me just, I want to be very accurate here when I speak of the Pandora Papers, all right? Let me see here. The Pandora Papers, this was a disclosure by the ICIJ back in, my goodness, it was 2020, I believe it might have been 2021. Let me be very clear on this because, again, I don't want to mislead anyone with this. I don't want to take the time to go through the multitude of papers I have here printed out. The Pandora Papers are they consist of 11.9 million leaked documents, nearly 3 terabytes of data. Eric Tech, 3 terabytes of data, that's pretty significant, right? Pretty large? Yeah. Huh. All right. This came from the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, published beginning October 3rd of 2021. And what they reveal are the placements of these oligarchs, where they're hiding their money. And in some cases, the money trail, kind of like Hunter Biden's laptop. Now, the Ukrainian president, Zelensky, he rode into power. And again, this is not pro or anti. This is just simply fact. I'm not pro-Putin, anti-Putin. I'm not pro. Look, I'm just telling you what we found from a factual basis. Zelensky came to power on promises to clean up the Eastern European country, Ukraine, right? He was a TV star, a comedian. He had his own television company. But anyway, when the Pandora Papers came out back in October of 2021, they revealed that Zelensky and his close circle of friends were the beneficiaries of a network of offshore companies, including some that owned expensive London property. As a matter of fact, right down the street from, I think it's 221 B. Baker Street, right down the street from Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. He began his presidency in 2019 on this wave of public anger against the country's political class. And that included people who wanted to use or used secret companies to stash their wealth overseas. Now, the leaked documents show that Zelensky and his inner circle of cohorts have had their own network of offshore companies. The very thing that he campaigned against to belong to the president's, Zelensky's partners were used to buy, again, property in London. The documents show that Zelensky and his partners in the television production company Gavardal 95 set up this network of offshore firms dating back to 2012 and involved a number of people. With that, I want to pull up another clip here. Let me make sure this is the proper one. As a matter of fact, if we can go to the second email of show prep, Eric the Tech, that I sent to you. Let me make sure I'm on the right page with Eric the Tech. He doesn't like it when I'm on the wrong page with him. I don't blame him. Is that the A and B? Let's go to clip A. And this really explains, I think, the importance of the Pandora Papers, because we have to get back to this and then get to Laura Logan and some other issues as well. Go ahead and play clip A.
This leak is really Panama Papers on steroids. This is the Pandora Papers, because we think we're opening a box on a lot of things. We're looking at about 12 million documents from 14 different service providers. These are law firms, firms that set up secret offshore accounts for people in multiple jurisdictions. The British Virgin Islands, Belize, Samoa. These documents, for the very first time, is actually showing the US as a tax haven itself. We're talking about some of the most famous people in the world that are in these documents. Presidents, prime ministers, government ministers, the King of Jordan, a number of very high-profile Russian clients, people that are very close to Vladimir Putin. We're seeing them buying real estate. We're seeing them, you know, trading in shares, using offshore companies. They're buying houses, cars, artworks. I guess it mostly demonstrates that the people that could end the secrecy of offshore, could end what's going on, are themselves benefiting from it, so there's no incentive for them to end it. We're not looking at a couple of million dollars here. We're looking at trillions of dollars.
The financial centers of the world, like the US, Europe, leaders are able to funnel and siphon money away and hide it in these jurisdictions through the use of anonymous companies.
These are not just like politicians and powerful people. We're talking about rock stars, including a lot of celebrities and people that have been convicted of crimes all over the world.
A jury here in Los Angeles found 78-year-old Robert Durst guilty of first-degree murder.
In arresto a Marbella, il surlatitante Raffaele Amato, boss della camorra scissionista.
La famiglia Rosenthal, accusata in Estados Unidos por lavado de activos ligado al narcotráfico.
The ability to hide money has a direct impact on your life. It affects your child's access to education, access to health, access to a home.
We're looking at a system here that is harming people. It's harming the world. And it's important that people know about it.
All right. That is the larger picture, but also pinpoints a little bit with respect to Zelensky and the Pandora Papers. People have a tendency to forget history, forget that this stuff is out there. It's buried by or censored by social media, buried by Google. And of course, we don't know really what's going on. Or at least we don't know what's going on if we simply listen to the media, the corporate media, or get all of our news from Facebook or Twitter, as a lot of people still do, sadly. All right. Now, what I want to do is play this clip next. How does all of this relate to Ukraine, NATO, Russia, the United States, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Obama, Biden laptop, the 51 intelligence geniuses who outright lied about Biden's laptop? How does all of this connect? You may remember, folks, that we had Laura Logan on this program. Laura Logan is perhaps one of the finest investigative journalists I know. She's a friend of the program, friend of ours, friend of Steve Quayle. I mean, but she is a workhorse. I want to play this clip for you. Now, this is a very, very key video. It is 10 minutes long. I wanted to cut it down to 4 and then 3. And you know what? I said, no. I want this entire clip played. This is with, I believe it's with OANN. I could be wrong on that. But it is a fantastic information dump about what's really taking place with respect to Ukraine, Russia, the United States, NATO, and the Bidens. And even going back to Obama to some extent, listen to every word. And folks, I'm going to put the link in the program description box. Share this with everyone you know. This is a truth, a major truth dump. This is clip 2, and go ahead and play it.
Okay. Apparently she's not quite ready yet. Let's keep it going.
I'm
then.
Ready. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are.
We got her.
Oh, well, it's so great. We didn't see you pop up right away.
By the way, that's
great to have you this morning.
I apologize. That's America's Voice AM on Real America's Voice Network, America's Voice AM. Just to clarify, I didn't want to misrepresent where this came from. Go ahead and play it.
I wanted to start with this breaking news overnight that it appears, and there you are, you popped up for us. It's so great to see you. The Daily Mail has a very interesting story that's saying that Vladimir Putin essentially may be running out of bullets, that he might have a week and a half, 2 weeks max. He's losing warplanes, tanks, all the rest of it. He obviously went into this thinking he was going to bulldoze his way through Ukraine. He's obviously caused a lot of destruction. Don't want to minimize the fact there's over 2 million refugees. But this has not gone as well as Vladimir Putin expected.
I don't buy it for a second, Ed, I'll be honest with you. I really think that there's so much misinformation. We've never really seen anything like it. I mean, I've been covering wars now for 35 years, and I have never seen people with their nails done in the Ukrainian flag, right? I mean, we're being corralled into this box where we either have to hate Vladimir Putin and believe everything evil that's said about him and love Ukraine, and there's no in between. And that reminds me a lot of you're either, you know, a white supremacist, or you go with the Democrat narrative on everything under the sun. So Vladimir Putin knew exactly what he was doing when he went into Ukraine. The Russian military isn't perfect. They, for example, I've spoken to multiple defense specialists and intelligence specialists from a defense intelligence agency who've studied the Russian military for years. They do have a difficulty mounting complex air operations because they do very little training hours in comparison to, for example, the United States air assets, right, our fighter jet pilots. But Russia is not struggling. What Russia has done from the very beginning has been very strategic. They didn't go straight to Kiev. They went to all those bioweapons laboratories that are scattered all over the country. Some of them they built, so they know where they mm-hmm. are. They've known where they are since the Soviet Union, because under the Defense Threat Reduction Program, we went in after the fall of the Soviet Union and supposedly turned those facilities in from bioweapons labs into public health labs. Although, you know, these days it's hard to believe anything that our leaders tell us because they've lied about COVID, they lied about Russia collusion, they lied about the Ukraine impeachment trial, and there's so much more going on in Ukraine that nobody is talking about. You see such dishonesty when it comes to the history of Ukraine. You see dishonesty when it comes to the Azov battalion, which is funded by the US and NATO. I mean, you can find pictures of them online holding up the NATO flag and the swastika at the same time. Their own emblem contains the black sun of the occult, which was a Nazi SS emblem. And it also contains the sideways, you know, lightning insignia of the SS. I mean, this is on throughout the Ukrainian military. You can see that black sun of the occult on their body armor, even on the female soldiers who are paraded in front of the world as being, you know, such an example of Ukraine's independence and spirit and nobility. Even they are wearing the black sun of the occult. And, you know, the White House wants you to believe, well, this doesn't matter. It's just a small number of troops. It's not true. The Azov battalion has been murdering its way through eastern Ukraine.
Yeah.
We don't want to admit this. This was why Crimea voted for independence. This is why Crimea wanted to be with Russia. Because we in the media, in the Western media and in the West, won't acknowledge the reality of what's gone on. Western Ukraine backed the Nazis. It was a headquarters for the Nazi SS. The CIA under Alan Dulles actually gave immunity from prosecution to the Nazis of Ukraine from the Nuremberg trials. So there is a long history of the United States and our intelligence agencies funding and arming Nazis in Ukraine. These are not like new neo-Nazi groups that sprung up. These are the actual Nazis from the Second World War, who, if you go back to the Nuremberg trials, said that they were planning for a thousand-year Reich. And so you have to really wonder, as you look at this, when you know that the CIA sponsored the color revolution in Ukraine in 2013 and 14, that they selected Ukraine's leaders, go to Victoria Nuland's leaked phone conversation, where she and the U.S. ambassador are deciding who can lead Ukraine. I mean, there's as much interference here as you could possibly imagine before get to Hunter Biden, Nancy Pelosi, John Kerry, and Mitt Romney, and all of their children who are employed, who earn millions from Ukrainian gas companies.
Yeah, you're pointing, pardon me, to a real credibility crisis for our leaders. I want to let Karen Turk jump in.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up the fact that President Zelensky is Jewish, and I don't know exactly how this factors in, but there's some very interesting points in what you're saying. And looking at this, you know, you could think it's political theatrics. You know, made a very good point at the beginning that you think that Putin is in control. And I actually want to play something that Jen Psaki said, because it seems that the White House is actually echoing that sentiment. Watch this.
Well, the end game is really a question for President Putin. We have completely crushed his economy. We have provided military assistance, humanitarian assistance to the Ukrainians, enabling them to fight back for far longer than the Russian leadership anticipated. And again, he has to determine what the path forward looks for like for him. Thanks, everyone.
He's determining what this looks like. And I think that's a lot of what you said, Laura. I'd love to get your thoughts on that, what you just watched.
what troubles me about the moment that we're in is that we have such a selective and a narrow reading of history. You know, President Zelensky may be Jewish, but he's not the only one in this who suffered during the Second World War, whose ancestors suffered, right? I mean, look at Putin. How many relatives did he lose in the siege of St. Petersburg? People don't know their history. They don't know what made Vladimir Putin. And I'm not a defending him. I don't need to defend Vladimir Putin. My job as a journalist is to try to understand what is the truth here. I don't like being lied to. And we're being lied to on an epic scale. When we're told your only choice is you have to be 100% with Zelensky, who's a puppet, who you can find on the internet in black stilettos and leather pants, you know, with shirtless, doing a spoof Dancing with the Stars kind of entertainment video. That's a mock of a Ukrainian group that does this kind of satanic occult type of music video. And I mean, Zelensky was selected, like so many of our leaders. And honestly, with big tech and with election fraud these days, we don't know how many leaders all around the world have been selected for us and weren't actually voted in. But what we do know is that there are increasing problems with technology and the digitization of our world. Because look at what's happening with COVID. Look at what has happened globally. We are fighting the same battles all over the world. To pretend that this war is about Russia and Ukraine is just a barefaced lie. Yeah. If Putin has been warning for 15 years that he is not going to stand by while the globalists take over the world, build bioweapons facilities and whatever else they're doing in Ukraine, Ukrainian oligarchs. Ukraine has been a center of money laundering for, you know, many of the leaders in this country for how long? Billions of U.S. dollars have been laundered through Ukraine, and we say nothing about it. These are our tax dollars. I mean, before the impeachment trial, had you ever heard of anyone in the United States? I mean, us bringing in foreign governments to the White House for anti-corruption training. I mean, does nobody question these things? Why do we not question them? We have an idiot like Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who goes at the impeachment trial and sits there as a lieutenant colonel. He didn't even make colonel. And he's telling the president of the United States what his policy should be. You have a traitor in the form of Maria Yovanovitch, who was Obama's ambassador, who's telling Ukrainian government officials, don't listen to the will of the American people. Don't listen to the election results. We are the true leaders of America. I mean, and then people object when the woman isn't even fired. She's given a cushy job for life at Georgetown University at the expense of the U.S. taxpayer. And we're told that the president of the United States cannot say to his foreign counterparts, you know, that we want you to look into something. But Joe Biden, can withhold as much aid as he wants to. I mean, there's so much hypocrisy and dishonesty here. And Ukraine is at the center of it all. Go back to Russia collusion. Go to Alexander Chalupa. Go to Eric Caramella, the whistleblower who went to work for Adam Schiff, who wasn't really a whistleblower, and all those corrupt people in the deep state. And you know what? The deep state isn't a theory. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's an actual deep state. Look up the SES, the Senior Executive Service, because when that bureaucracy was ushered into law in the United States of America, that's when we got a bunch of unelected bureaucrats pulling the strings behind the scenes. And these are the people that keep lying to us.
Absolutely. And pardon me, we've got a live chat where we're streaming on Getter, for example, and I'm watching it as you're talking. People are talking about how you're dropping truth bombs and you're a real journalist. And I know that having worked alongside you for many, many years when you're at CBS and many other places, and maybe they didn't want to hear the truth, but you're dropping those truth bombs now. Unfortunately, we've got to hit a break right now. We'd love to have you back in the days ahead. We love having you on. Laura Logan, thanks for joining us on Real America's Voice.
Now, Laura Logan was on with Steve Quayle and myself. Eric, do you remember? It was a couple months ago, right? 3 months? Okay. Thank you, Eric Tech. We talked briefly off air about this situation. How many times did she mention the satanic in that? How many times did she mention the larger picture? If I could play that on an endless loop, I would do that. I beg of everyone to take that link that's at HagmanReport.com. In the episode description, you have to open up the episode description only at HagmanReport.com, two N's on Hagman. And you can copy that link you don't have to copy this show, but copy the link to that video and send it to everyone you know. Okay, that was September 2nd of 2021. Thank you, Eric the Tech. God bless you, man. When Steve, myself, and Laura were talking, and we, by the way, we spoke probably for an hour plus after that broadcast. And well, I'll tell you, she knows where the bodies are buried. But, you know, she mentioned a couple of things, and I want to just touch on this as we're waiting for John to connect. We're having some connectivity issues. Of course, why not? There was a February 5th, 2021 fact check claim. And this was done by USA Today. The title is Fact Check: Old Claim Linking Politicians' Sons to Ukraine is Partly False. Partially. Well, it should be partially false. Partly false. This written by Chelsea Cox. No, don't worry, I won't. Eric Steck, I won't. All right. The claim, as this goes, sons of politicians are on board of directors for energy companies with ties to Ukraine. All right. You're going to see this pop up on all social media platforms and saying, oh, this is not true. You know, for example, Mitten's son, you know, Romney's son, Hunter Biden, Kerry, John Kerry's son, Pelosi's son. They're not. No. They got no dealings in Ukraine, right? But you heard Laura mention it. This got traction, really, by Laura and by Jack Posobiec, but specifically Laura Logan. Now, this kind of came from a meme initially that had pictures of Mitt Romney, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, and John Kerry. And beneath those pictures, text that states, Biden's son, Romney's son, Pelosi's son, Kerry's son, all on the board of directors for energy companies doing business in Ukraine. Okay. Now, believe it or not, according to this USA fact check, this claim originated back in 2019, and they attribute this to the Jack Murphy, who happens to be the conservative opinion, the founder of the conservative opinion outlet Trending Politics. This happened on Twitter. According to the fact check about Hunter Biden, Paul Pelosi Jr., Kerry's stepsons, plural, and Romney's sons, the claim is this. The error is this. Based on our research, this is partly false. Hunter Biden, for example, son of President Joe Biden, was a board member of Ukrainian gas company Burisma Holdings for 5 years, you know, from 2014 to 2019, but no longer works for the company. Now think about that for a second. How disingenuous do you have to be to make that argument? Well, he doesn't work there anymore, so it's false. You know,
partly
false. You know, I am so pissed off for a lot of reasons today. I'm telling you can ask Eric the Tech. Okay. I mean, I got, you want to hear something real quick? This has nothing to do with anything. Okay. Okay. So God bless Josh, my son, my stepson, but he's my son. He's Eric's brother-in-law. And it's Maya, who's in the hospital. It's Josh's daughter, my granddaughter. Well, Josh's sister-in-law came up to stay, actually be closer to her parents. It was planned in advance and stuff. And she's got a dog. Well, she flew up. She flew up and had the dog transported by a transport company. By an animal transport company who hired a woman to transport the dog from Arizona to Pennsylvania. You ready for this? This is our life right now. She kidnapped the dog. You can't make this crap up. She kidnapped the dog. She was found somewhere in the, you know, Montana, North Dakota, somewhere with the dog. I don't know if they sent a SWAT team in there to get the dog, but they got the dog. But she kidnapped the dog. Eric's the tech. Help me out with this. Okay. First of all, who does that? And second of all, what the hell? Okay, what's going on? Every time I wake up, there's something new.
And how do you think you're not going to get caught?
Yeah, exactly. And believe me, we ain't done. I ain't done.
Don't mess with the puppies.
Don't screw with Amy. You know, Lady, the studio dog, and Theo, her Eric's dog, heard that, and they were upset. But I'll tell you what, they know you don't mess with our pups. Don't mess with our wives. Don't mess with our dogs, and don't mess with our kids. Not in that order, okay? But you get the idea. Seriously, the entire world has gone just absolutely batcrap crazy. I'm just sharing a day in the life of Doug Hagman, all right? Or actually, not me. It's not. What's that? Oh, John is with me. Okay, I was kind of stretching it out there, you know, for waiting for John. John, how are you, my friend?
Well, good to be here, Doug. Thank you.
Good to have you. Did you hear the dog kidnapping story?
Say again?
Did you hear the dog kidnapping story?
I just got the very tail end of it, so no, sir, I did not.
No, I was kind of not wasting time, but telling a story. We haven't spoken in a week. My granddaughter is in Children's Hospital right now. She's still fighting for her life. Okay, I mean, she got better, and then last night was horrible. She has a bacterial infection of it would be kind of like E. coli, so to speak. I mean, close to E. coli. It's a strain of E. coli. So it was probably from a foodborne item. Okay, but John, you know, we don't. I mean, no one else got sick, but anyway, long story short, her aunt, which is Josh, Josh is my son, stepson, Eric the Tech's brother-in-law. It's his daughter, along with his wife, in Children's Hospital, fighting for her life. Anyway, Josh's sister-in-law came up from Arizona to Northwest Pennsylvania to live, be closer to her parents, and of course to help out during this crisis time. And so she flew up, had her things brought up, but also had a transport company transport her dog up to Northwest Pennsylvania. Well, the transport company hired a woman who kidnapped the dog. You can't make this crap up, John. So here's the deal. Okay, now the police might have their day with her, but I'll tell you, you do that to a dog, one of our dogs, you're going to have a whole boatload of problems after the police are done with you. Because you don't, and there was some other things I'm not getting into that sadly, and I mean sadly, happened to the dog during that time of kidnap. But you can't make this crap up anymore. You just can't. So anyway, did we lose him again? Or We lost them. It's that sonar kind of thing that goes off. All right. Anyway, so you got the idea. Laura Logan, going back to that, Laura Logan dropping truth bomb after truth bomb after truth bomb. You bring in the Hunter Biden laptop. It's got the all of the information about how Joe Biden had profited from Ukraine in addition to China dealings, the energy company in Ukraine, by way of Hunter Biden's son. And, of course, you have the John Kerry. You've got Pelosi's son, Paul Pelosi. You've got others, Mittens, Mitt Romney. You got all these people involved in this. And people say, well, you know, people are applying sainthood to Zelensky when, now look, I get it, okay? Another country invades another country. Russia invades Ukraine. Okay, I understand the problems of war. But look at the Pandora Papers. You think Zelensky deserves sainthood? Look at the Ukrainian corruption. Do you think that the, you know who suffers? People who suffer are the people of Ukraine. So all of these social media giants with the Ukrainian flags on their social media, as if they're wearing this face mask to signal their virtuous identity to the world because they've got low self-esteem. So we're going to stand for Ukraine. Look, I understand. Stand for the people, not the politics, not the politicians. You don't want to invite World War III. You don't want to invite a world war. You don't want to invite world conflict like Nuland wants to. Victoria Nuland, State Department under O'Biden. Obama. But the Obama-Biden regime. You don't want to do this. So anyway. So, John, in your before you came on, I played a little clip about the Pandora Papers, how they open up information about the stuff that's going on in Ukraine, Zelensky, his offshore accounts, where he's getting his money, not really too deep into that, where he's hiding his money, perhaps more applicably. And then 10 minutes of Laura Logan dropping truth bomb after truth bomb, citing, of course, the very important and I'm going to turn this over to you, but citing this very important aspect of the Ukrainian Nazi Azov Battalion setting up offensive positions in residential areas in Ukraine, using civilians as women and children as human shields, and in fact bombing and killing some of their own people. But this is the complexity of Ukraine and these mind-numb morons on social media, or people like George Takei or Stephen King, the writer, think that this is all black and white, that, hey, you know, it's there's nothing to see here. They want to dumb us down when, in fact, it's very complex. What do you say about what's going on over there, brother?
Well, I'll tell you what I told the pastor of my church two Sundays ago. I said, Pastor, there's no good guys in this battle. There simply aren't. It's the government of Ukraine is basically organized crime. That's what they are. We have the children of high-level Americans, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, I believe a couple of others that
Mittens received- and Kerry. Yeah,
precisely. Receive massive paychecks for basically doing nothing. These adult children act as the bagmen for their parents, is what they do. We don't have a dog in this fight, Doug. There's no vital U.S. security interest at risk here in Ukraine. The Western nations have been provoking Russia for not living up to the Minsk agreement, which Russia held up their part of the bargain for the most part, and Ukraine has been bombing innocent men, women, children in the Russian-speaking areas of Ukraine now for, what, about 8 years or so?
That's right.
We got no business in this fight. We really don't. And it could spin wildly out of control. China is standing back and just licking their lips and waiting for us to get involved and use up our resources so they can go ahead and invade Taiwan, which they probably will do. Unfortunately, they probably will.
Is that the untold story here, Taiwan?
China is the wild card. There's no two ways about it. China is the wild card. And the economic connections between Europe and Russia have made it far more complex. Winter is almost over, but Russia could push one button and put much of Europe into a very cold, unheated homes and businesses, because they supply so much of the fuel that is needed for homes and businesses in Europe. The thing that makes the most sense to me, Doug, is that Russia is not playing along with the New World Order, and that makes more sense than anything else. We've seen this with.
I heard Jeff Nyquist on your show last week. All right, now does he have a different take on that, or not?
Jeff is a friend. I've known Jeff now for about 18 years. He has a very tight focus on communism and the international communist conspiracy. And I think because of that tight focus, he frequently doesn't look outside of it for other parts of the other pieces of the puzzle. That's my belief.
Okay. And to Jeff, we're not talking behind your back. It's on thelibertyman.com, folks. Great, great, great information, by the way, thelibertyman.com. Drill down also on Rumble, and you can find all of John's programs there. But, okay, good, okay. Yeah,
The way I'll respond to that, other slices of the pie being present does not discount or do away with the other slices of the pie. So if Jeff Nyquist's slice of the pie is international communist conspiracy, that doesn't preclude or eliminate other pieces of the pie. It just adds to it. That's my opinion based on what I know. So Jeff's analysis can be 100% right. In addition, there can be other parts of it that are just as valid, involving the New World Order, the desires of the West to control all the world's resources and all the world's population. Vladimir Putin is a lot of things, but one of the things he is a nationalist. He's become a multi-billionaire doing what he does on one hand. On the other, I believe he loves Mother Russia. I don't doubt that for a moment. And I believe he has the best interest of himself, his family, and Mother Russia in mind when he does what he does. We would be foolish to start a world war with Russia, because that would instantly pull in China, which would instantly change the planet in very bad ways, extremely bad.
Why do you think there's such a, and folks, I'll ask you this question too. Why do you think there is such a,
House of Representatives?
I think we got a sonar thing going on again. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I think we might have lost you there for a second. Why do you think there is such a push for a global conflict, which is inevitable if NATO gets involved, if the U.S. gets involved? I mean, this could turn nuclear in a heartbeat. Why would anyone want that?
It's political posturing on the part of the U.S. senators and the U.S. representatives, I believe. I think they're playing to what they believe is their base support without really thinking about the consequences of what they're advocating.
All right, we lost you again. So I don't know if you can hear me, John. We did lose you. All right, John Moore, thelibertyman.com, having some connectivity issues there, of course, but interesting take as well. Watch China. Folks, if you're joining me, I want to thank all of the people who support this platform and really make this possible. We have a lot of great things planned. Of course, we do things in the background too. with respect to human and child sex trafficking. And we do our very, very best to support those people on the front lines. And we actually get involved in investigations of that sort as well. Nothing so important as our children and, of course, the rights of humans not to be trafficked. But I want to thank, too, our corporate sponsors, as few as there may be, Lightstream.com/Hagman being one of them. You know, did you know that refinancing your credit card balances can lower your interest rate and save you money? Of course it can. And you don't have to be a financial expert to do it. You can get a fixed rate credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream right now. And you can start saving thousands in interest. Rates start at 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. And you know, all of this is lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. And you know rates are going to be going higher, right? You guys know that. So get in on this offer today. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. And there are no fees. None. Zero. Nada. The application is 100% online. And you can even get your money in your bank account as soon as the day you apply. Here's what you have to do. My listeners and viewers only, just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That is LightStream.com/Hagman, lightstream.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR, and they include a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You'll thank me later. You're going to be glad you did, and there it is. All right, Lightstream, thank you very much for being part of the show. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com, John Moore. Are we doing him back? All right. John, you got cut off again. The gremlins of the airwaves.
I'm back.
Yeah,
I'm back.
They're fighting us hard. So.
Yeah, it's been a challenge.
Yes.
But so. I am back. Well, right. Well, Doug, we've seen young American men with more testosterone than they got sense flying to Ukraine to help. The reports I'm getting is whatever equipment they bring with them has been confiscated by the Ukrainian government. The victims of almost all wars are the innocent men, women, and children. In this case, the innocent men, women, and children of Ukraine, who are not criminals, are not part of the criminal conspiracy that rules their government. The Russian.
Let me. I don't mean to interrupt you, but yet I did. Have you ever seen anything like this before where you've got people from other countries saying, I'm going to go over and I'm going to fight?
Well, sure. The Spanish Civil War in the 1930s.
Really?
It was called the Lincoln Brigade.
Okay.
And they were Americans went over to help the communists fight the fascists.
Well, folks, we learned something. And of course. Okay. Keep going.
And of course they lost. The general in charge of Spain continued to be the general of and the prime minister, president of Spain for decades following World War II, Franco. So there's precedence for that. In the American Revolution, I think we had some French volunteers to fight the British. In the Texas Revolution to fight Mexico, there were many Mexicans that joined the Texans. The Caucasians, however you want.
All right. So we do have precedents for this, That's interesting. All right. Okay. So while we work to get John back, I have yet another video clip. This is another truth bomb, stated differently and more recently, this by Steve Bannon. People like him, people don't like him, but the fact of the matter is, the way he talks, well, he knows the internal workings of our government, okay, and has seen the internal workings of our government. This is clip 3 in the program notes. This is clip 3 about what's going on in Ukraine right now. And it's called This is a World of Gangsters. Now, again, like Laura Logan, I was thinking, well, maybe I can trim this down to 2 minutes or whatever. No, no. Listen to the entire clip because it sets it up and then it takes it home. The first part sets it up. The second part takes it home. 6 minutes. Go ahead and hit the play button there.
I just want to make sure everybody understands. It's we're live. It's Saturday morning, the 19th of March, the year of our Lord, 2022. For this audience, yesterday I had a very left-wing guy I know very well that's involved in, let's say, the capital markets business. And he said that, and he's no fan of Trump, and he's no personal fan of mine. But he did make contact to an intermediary, and we talked, and he said that the only show he watches is War Room. Because here he gets in the fog of war, actually information and intelligence and connecting dots that he can use in his capital markets business. Forget all the spin and all the infantile posturing you've seen among these disgraceful politicians, and I'm talking about Republicans, about extending this war and bringing the reign of terror down on the Ukrainian people. Let me be brutally frank, okay? The Financial Times, the White House lied about what the conversation went on with yesterday with Xi. Xi and the Chinese came out immediately, 10:30, they're leaking out on their, you know, on People's Daily, on Global Times, their foreign ministers putting things out about what went on in the conversation. And you can see from their general thing, they never called a war, never called an invasion, said both sides want peace, et cetera, et cetera. The White House, the best I can calculate, I don't think it came up till 3 o'clock, 2 or 3 o'clock for the readout. That means, and my first guest is going to be Jason Miller, you're spending hours going through how do we present this. And I support, I think Kellyanne said last night on the Hannity show, and I think it's something we said yesterday, that you got to put the whole transcript out. Here's the reality. She warns Biden against sanctions. She, after Tiger Yang went to Alaska and read Tony Blinken, the Riot Act, on global television and humiliated us at the beginning of the relationship, right? That was in the very early days, I think in the first 90 days. After Tiger Yang then went to Rome and for 7 hours harangued, and everybody that knows China and has sources in China and knows what's going on, and I have pretty good sources since I think I'm the only civilian in the history of this republic to be sanctioned by the Chinese Communist Party, okay? Because I lead the Super Hawks, which is treats them like gangsters, know they're gangsters, and are dedicated to taking them down like gangsters. He goes and reads the Riot Act to that pencil-necked soy boy, Jake Sullivan, who's an embarrassment for us to send anywhere. She gave Biden the same treatment. Axios broke a story yesterday. You know, Jonathan Swan and Mike Allen, the guys over at Axios, broke a story that the White House is saying they're appalled Axios put up there because it's not confirmed. And now we know that the Ukrainians have been trying to get from the Americans, if you won't give us direct military aid, if you won't give us to close this guy, we won't do this. Start arming us now so we can build a resistance. Hey, guess what? I didn't see the letter. Where's the letter? I don't know. Did anybody get the letter? Is the letter going through the interagency process? Where's the letter? The White House is lying about this. They have today the headline out of everywhere. We're going to get to Ben Harden one room. The headline out of everywhere is Zelensky is begging urgently for a meeting with Putin, a one-on-one, urgently begging for a meeting to discuss basically some sort of deal. Urgently begging. There's no conspiracy, but there are no coincidences. Tiger Yang goes to Rome and reads the Americans the Riot Act. The Chinese send a carrier battle group. Oh, first off, on Ides of March, they announced, the Saudis announced who they won't take Biden's phone call. They're going to have Xi for a state meeting, and they're also going to do all their oil transactions, not dollar denominated. Kaboom. There's your prime reserve currency. And they invite Xi for a state meeting that they won't take. You know, they're a protector of ours. They won't take his phone call. Then they read the Riot Act to him in Rome. Then they send a carrier battle group to the Straits of Taiwan. Then he has the meeting yesterday. And the White House takes hours to come up with a lie about what happened. Note to self, for all these people, we got to send the MiGs in. We got to send all this in. There are people being killed there right now, being slaughtered. Look at Mariupol.
because you've waltzed them into their fate and destiny and cut them off and cut them loose. All the big talkers and the big shots, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. They sent a thing, hey, at least help us with the resistance. Can't find the, where's the letter? Has that been routed? Did that get routed to me? Did I sign off on that? Did I chop on that? Is that going through interagency process? Axios has got the goods. White House saying you're appalled you put out such misinformation. You think you're the war room. She warns, where is it in any of their readout? Where is it in Jen Psaki? Where is it all of this? She warns Biden against sanctions. And let me read the first paragraph from the Financial Times of London. She warned Joe Biden against imposing sweeping indiscriminate sanctions during a lengthy call yesterday as the Chinese leader fended off the threat of retaliation from Washington over its stance on the Ukraine war. And its stance is it's got a partner. That partner is Russia. They're supporting him financially and they're supporting him militarily. And anybody doesn't understand that. And anybody doesn't understand that that's why Putin has the big rally. He's on top of the world. Oh, it's cratering. It's terrible. It's going to fall apart. In a world where you don't fear America, life is going to be nasty, brutish, and short. Do you think that Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden and Ted Cruz and Little Marco and this group of feckless individuals, Tony Blinken and Jake Sullivan, do you think this collection and Mitt Romney up on his toes popping up, they want the MiGs, send in the MiGs. This is a world of gangsters. Xi, Putin, the mullahs in Iran, Erdogan, and Erdogan's being the intermediary now. Erdogan, the clique in Pakistan, and the mini-me in North Korea. We're dealing, but let's throw in Maduro, and wait till Lula gets it in Brazil. This is a world of gangsters. Okay, and all they fear is strength and determination and looking them in the eye. And it's not sending weapons into Ukraine and getting everybody killed. It's what I've said from the beginning. If you don't confront the Chinese Communist Party and break these guys up, and we have every tool to do it, this is what you're going to get. And now you got an administration that's both compromised and lying to your face.
So that goes to exactly what John Moore said. That goes to the Pandora papers. That goes to Hunter Biden laptop. We've been telling you this the exact same thing. That you combine that along with Laura Logan, play that on a loop, and I'll tell you what, you've got a lot of truth there. John, are you back?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's see if we can keep you. I'm gonna dog nap you here. All right. But anyway, I wanted to play that as well. Get your take on it. I mean, this involves the Communist Chinese Party as well. I mean, this is a world of gangsters, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I think we need to emphasize for all our listeners, Doug, that people need to take personal responsibility for their family security. I don't trust our military to defend the country anymore. I really don't. They've become politically correct, and all our pilots are at risk because they all took the COVID vaccination clot shot. We are really, really vulnerable. If President Trump can get back in, he would probably reverse these things as quickly as possible. But for the time being, we're quite vulnerable and open to a successful attack by the combined forces of Russia and China. I hope people will pay heed and do what's necessary to protect their families, Doug.
You know, you said no one's coming to our rescue, the American military. Another thing you put that you so you were right on the money about, as are many of our guests. What has happened to our military, aside from our military coming to our rescue? Yeah, I don't think so. Just recently, and I don't know if you had a chance to see this, kind of pivoting a little bit here, but building on what you're saying, Daniel Horowitz, The Blaze. Have you seen this article? Moore Vares report. Okay. It's titled Moore Vares reported vaccine deaths in our military than COVID deaths. Check this out.
Well, I'm aware of that without reading that report. And what happened in 2021 was a 1,100% increase in morbidity and disease. It's expected to be 5,000% this calendar year in the military.
You know, it's almost like, my goodness, they intentionally destroyed our military at this very inopportune time. It's almost like it's a conspiracy, John. But dare I say that?
Well, look at the composition. If you want the answers, look at the composition of the House Armed Forces Committee. The House Armed Forces Committee. They're the ones that control the spending. When they control the money, which they do, they control how the money gets spent and what the military does and what they do not do. Obviously, it's a Democrat-controlled committee because the Democrats control the House of Representatives. And the Armed Services Committee, House Armed Services Committee, has been destroying our military now for decades. Ingratiating women into the Corps, into all the military academies, putting women in combat, demanding women be put in combat, making sure.
All right, we lost them again. I'll tell you what, the gremlins are angry, as I am today as well. Check this. Again, going back to pivoting, but going back to the military, and John made some excellent points there. If we can only get him to stay and continue those points, but the total number of death military adverse events reports, check this chart out. This from VAERS by year. Now, the VAERS, of course, was... is the go-to for adverse events related to vaccines. But when you take the military aspect into account, check this out. So you've got total number of death military adverse events reports from VAERS by year. The most recent year, 2021, 127, which represents a 4,133% increase in military death reports made to VAERS comparison to 2020 to 2021. Look, and this is underreported, right? The hospitalizations in that same report, by the way, the total number of hospital military adverse event reports by VAERS by year, 561, a 1,700 and some odd percent increase in hospital reports made to VAERS. There it is right there. There's the first chart, that is, but the other chart. So with VAERS being woefully underreported, especially in the military with so much pressure against speaking ill of these jabs, it makes sense that the diagnosis codes in DMED would be much higher. And you've got, of course, whistleblower attorney Tom Renz, Senator Johnson's hearing, showing a 37% increase with 2 months of 2021 still not reported. Going by that same metric, you would have a 55% increase in military hospitalizations for 2021 over the five-year average. All right, John Moore is back and talking about the composition of our military and the military.
Go ahead. It's important to note that the DMED reporting system is not voluntary. VAERS is. That's a massive difference.
Precisely.
It's a very tiny percentage of healthcare professionals make the voluntary report to VAERS on one hand. On the other, DMED is a mandatory reporting situation for all healthcare professionals in the military, all branches, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and I assume the Space Force, whatever they're doing. Yes, it's very alarming. And within the military, of course, the men and women in the military have to be scared to death because they're very aware of their comrades getting sick and dying. Word travels fast among the men and women in the military because of social media, private interactions, and so forth. They're stuck. They can't be unvaccinated, and they're probably required to get a booster every 6 months, which I think is the protocols. We have Pfizer is now asking the FDA for permission to be issuing a fourth booster for people. The fourth booster is going to be the end of it for many people. The third booster already has been. It's just going to get worse, Doug. And China and Russia have not done this to their own people. We've done it to our people, but they have not done it to their own people. They've maintained a healthy population without injecting these poisons into their bodies.
You were the first one that brought Dr. Teresa Long to our attention, my attention, here on this platform. And on yours, thelibertyman.com, folks, go to thelibertyman.com. Make sure you bookmark that website and listen to John's program. As well as he has private consultations as well, but listen to his programs. But the thing about DMED that you mentioned, this caught my attention after you brought Dr. Teresa Long to my attention. And then there was that hearing with Ron Johnson and others.
Senator Johnson, right.
Right. There was an exchange that happened there. There was Liberty Counsel's Matt Staver asked Lieutenant Colonel Long a question about DMED. Here's what she said, and I quote, "I have been ordered not to answer that question." This is about DMED stats. I'm sorry, maybe it was not within that venue. Because this was under judge.
She was testifying somewhere else. Right. It was in front of a judge is what it was.
Judge Mary Day.
Precisely.
Okay. And
that's witness tampering. That's a crime, Doug.
Exactly.
On the face of it.
Exactly.
No two ways about it. It's witness tampering.
So how do we even stop this, brother?
Well, whatever superior officer ordered her to not talk about the truth about the DMED and what she knows, either they didn't understand the law about witness tampering or they didn't care. There's no third choice. Most adults that are involved at that level of government, I think, would have at least some fundamental understanding of what witness tampering is without being a legal professional. I would think that they would know that. Maybe not. It's possible, but unlikely. Whoever ordered Lieutenant Colonel Long to not testify was either a colonel or a general to be a superior officer, or a lieutenant colonel with more time and grade, which would make that officer superior, to give an order like that. That officer needs to be prosecuted.
Right. And she said that the night before that testimony that she provided, she stated she was told by her commanders not to testify, which, as you point out, that you can't do that. That's a violation of the Whistleblowers Act and is, in fact, witness tampering, regardless of the venue. So there it is. And so we've got some really bad problems. But then again, you know, you got Hunter Biden, going back to Hunter Biden, going back to Ukraine, going back to everything that we know, all of the bad stuff that we know. There's no justice. There's little to no justice. Meanwhile, we've got January 6th people that protested, but simply walked into the Capitol, didn't do anything else, rotting away in a prison right now.
Not convicted of a crime?
No.
Not having been before a judge, not having any bail set for a nonviolent misdemeanor, basically. It turns our judicial system upside down to have that happening in this country in this day and time. It really does.
So, okay, here's my question at this point. How much more are we going to take? Are we going to be like that abused spouse who gets beat by her husband, we'll say, or maybe the opposite. I don't know. You know, and are we, at what point are we going to say, all right, it's over. Enough is enough. We are taking back power. And that, and I mean that sincerely. And people might say, well, you're calling for revolution. You're damn right I am. Because what are we going to wait for some person on a white horse to come in and save us? I don't think so. Or you know, so I don't know. Help me out with this, because I'm to the point now where I don't believe there's no one coming to save us. Justice system out the window. It's injustice. It's two-tier justice, if that. It's all gangster-related stuff. So I don't know. Oh, I want to show you this. Did I show you this last week? Your promotion of this book made me actually get New Lies for Old, which I had read last weekend. Okay. So I show this and John Depp. Are you still there? No. Alrighty then. All right, John has left the building again. Let me go to. You might ask, well, wait a second. What's the end game here? Because one thing you haven't mentioned, Doug, yet, amongst all of this, is how bad our economy is. $8, $9 for a gallon of gas in California. Oh, but people say, oh, quit complaining because gas is high all over the world. Okay. What's the end game? Laura Logan had suggested this, to a lesser extent Steve Bannon has as well, but you have to dig a little deeper there. There are people who know what the end result's going to be. Complete control over you, over all of us, if we stay within the system. Clip 4 is a very brief clip about a push to control a digital currency. This is common because we cannot sustain the economy we have right now. While we're working to get John back, hopefully he can catch some of this as well. This is a 2-minute clip about this push for digital currency. And you see cheerleaders out pushing this, right? You see people out pushing for this digital currency. Oh, Bitcoin. Oh, whatever. Look, I understand this disambiguation of Bitcoin, for example. But if you think for 1 second that you own something that's just a bunch of air or a bunch of electrons on a screen, I can't help you. But even if you're sold on that point alone, let's just say you're right. Let's just say Bitcoin's the answer or digital currency is the answer. You know, this, again, disambiguated kind of peer-to-peer kind of, or not peer-to-peer, but this decentralized digital platform. What happens when they pull the plug? Watch clip 4. This is 2 minutes. And this kind of leads us into the final throw of this, which is complete domination over all of our lives. Remember, the objective is 2030. You'll own nothing. You'll be happy. You will be controlled. We'll tell you when to eat. We'll tell you what to eat. Oh, and by the way, we're exempt from this because, of course, the Pandora Papers show that, you know, we have made other arrangements for ourselves. Watch this.
What they want to do is bring in this thing called the central banking digital currency. They want to replace fiat paper money with digital money as a competitor to Bitcoin and crypto money, right? But instead of being decentralized currency. It will be controlled by a government. It's digital currency, but controlled centrally through the banks, Bank of England. So instead of having a bank account with whatever, HSBC or Bank of America, you'll have a bank account directly with, in the American context, with the Fed. In the UK, directly with the Bank of England. You have a personal bank account, and you're given digital money in that bank account. These are called central banking digital currencies. The Chancellor of the Exchequer in the UK has already announced their intention to do this as the G7 group. And these, if you look up...
This sounds terrifying.
If you look up the Telegraph newspaper,
central bank digital currency, is that the one down below?
Digital currency should be programmable. See that one there? Yeah. Now what they're doing is they're saying, you know, everyone knows that with inflation at over 5%, it's now 5.4%, right? Our fiat money, the paper money, is increasingly becoming worthless, and we're headed towards a big disaster. The Fed wants to raise interest rates, but we're in so much debt that if you raise interest rates, people are going to suffer because everyone that you know, we're living on debt as Western economies. So they realize that this kind of the lifespan of paper money is fast coming to an end because of the 2008 economic crash in particular. So they're bringing in these central banking digital currencies. Why is that word programmable in there? So what they said in that article, and the Chancellor put a video out saying this as well, they've said that this money that you will earn from work, instead of having paper money, you have this digital money. It's programmable so that you can't buy certain foods, or if you do something that your employer doesn't like, it's all in that article. You won't be able to spend your money. In other words, it's not money.
It ain't money. What else do you need to know? It's not money. John, are you back? John, are you back, brother?
I'm back.
All right. All right. So in your absence, I we played a clip of digital currency. This is, of course, their end game objective. Control over everybody by way of digital currency. Hey, we're going to control where you live, what you eat, what you don't eat. We're going to control you. I mean, isn't this the end game objective?
It is. And they want us to eat bugs. Yeah. Of all things.
Yeah, why not?
Right. Well, bugs are already being sold for human consumption. There's a tourist attraction in St. Louis County Parks and Recreation has in St. Louis County called the Butterfly House. It's a beautiful place. And the gift shop is selling bugs for people to eat, of all things.
Okay. Why?
I'm serious.
Why?
I'm serious.
I mean, do people actually flock there and say, oh, let me try that chocolate-covered cockroach? Is that a thing? I mean,
well, I don't know what the sales are, but they are there for sale. I didn't buy any. I should have bought one for a novelty, I guess, just to show people how the insanity. But I assume people do buy them and do eat them. I don't know.
Good Lord! All right, so we've lost our collective minds. All right, which brings me back to my ultimate question again. You know, when are we going to rise up and say, "All right, not enough is enough. Not us anymore. We're done." You know, now you've done it. Now you've done it. We're peeved enough to take people down. And it's all me now, John. I don't know what the hell is going on here, but brother, we only have about 5 minutes left of this show, so. Go to johnmoore.com, go to thelibertyman.com. I apologize, folks, for this, whatever this is in terms of trying to keep him on. It's, it really does, I got to tell you, it's really not a good connection. All right. And this doesn't happen all of the time, but it's interesting when it does. All right. Let me go to this in closing. Stand by one more, just talk amongst yourselves, everyone. Okay, there you go. I just want to bring this up in closing here. The, we kind of started out with, or at least hooked the program on the video with Laura Logan, giving this brutally honest assessment of U.S. politics in Ukraine. And again, she's not the kind of person to pull punches and hold back when she shares her insights. This, in the entirety of this interview, to me, should be viral. The abuses that are taking place that are a direct consequence of the politics of the previous and current regimes, administrations, and what have you, in world politics, they have consequences. And by the way, so do stolen elections have consequences. So I really, the entire point of all of this is to really please make certain that you get this information out, especially the Laura Logan interview, to everyone you know. That has more truth in that 10 minutes than any other video I've seen. And I got to tell you, she's got more to say, and perhaps she'll be coming back on here sooner rather than later. One more thing to keep your eye on. You know, Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, has been hospitalized. We also have, at the same time, Ketanji Brown Jackson confirmation hearing taking place, all right, or having being in progress. It began today at 11 o'clock Eastern time, where she appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, this is going to take the balance of the week. And this gives people a chance to question this woman about her beliefs and about her positions. But people, I ask people to sit up and to pay attention to this. Pay attention to who's on whose side on this. Because this is one more, if not perhaps one final, nail in the coffin of what is known as a representative republic, known as the United States of America. McConnell has come out essentially saying, well, you know what? Whatever she thought before of the socialism, communism, of what is now known as critical race theory, doesn't matter. Using a different standard, of course, than they did with Kavanaugh. And I'm not saying that I like Kavanaugh. I'm just saying using these different standards. And expect her to be rapidly confirmed despite her socialist communist beliefs. And I would also like to point out, and this is not the least issue with this Supreme Court nominee, Jackson Brown. Or Brown Jackson. I was thinking Jackson Brown from the 70s. Sorry about that. What are you laughing at, Eric the Tech, over there? You okay? All right. Yeah, Brown Jackson. She has gone light in her judicial rulings on pedophiles and on career criminals. Just think about that for a little bit. As we look at the larger picture here shaping up in the United States, I'm telling you right now, none of this is working well for the United States. And I close this show with the question. If we cannot get justice in the Hunter Biden laptop, for example, and the fact that the social media and the big media conglomerates put a lid on that in the weeks before the 2020 election. If we can't get justice, criminal justice, for the graft of the Biden crime family, if we cannot undo what's been done to the January 6th defendants, if we cannot undo what is being done to schools all across our country, if we can't undo all of this, or if we can't fix this, what next? If we can't stop our elected officials pushing for a world war, what next? We need to take our country back. Folks, thank you very much. Have a great night. God bless. When you hit your knees tonight, please pray for our country. Good night.